We can get started. It's Erev Tov, everybody. We want to wish everybody a good year. As I'll say, you know, as Menachem Liptak used to always say, and I went to before Yom Kippur, it's more important what we do between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah than between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's a great way to start the post Yom Kippur season. And I really want to thank Rabbi Friedman for stepping in really last minute. You know, it's not so easy to find a rabbi to give a shiur the day after Yom Kippur before Sukkah. So I want to give him a special yashar koach even in advance. And it's a pleasure to welcome back. He is the senior rabbi at the Jewish Center of Teaneck. He's a magid shiur at TABC. That's the TABC. That's Torah Academy of Bergen County, I believe. And he teaches in the Beit Midrash of Teaneck at Lamdeinu. Previously served as the resident scholar of the Jewish Center in Manhattan, a graduate of Yeshiva University, where he received his smicha. He studied in Yeshivat Haratzion, and in the Sunday, he's doing a wonderful job in Teaneck, and it's a pleasure to welcome him back. Promotion, Bakasha. Also, not an easy parsha. It's a time of year, and Hazinu is not a simple parsha, so we look forward to hearing your insights. Bakasha.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Kelman, and let me just say to everybody how wonderful it is to spend time together and to wish everybody good year, and should be a healthy year. And as Rabbi Kelman alluded to, it's a lot of learning to do. One of the, this is, to be expected on the one hand, there's a lot going on in terms of Inyana Diyoma, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. One of the laments that I have, if this is nobody's fault, it's the way that the calendar works out, is that some of the most beautiful parshios in the Torah, whether it's Nitzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, Bezos, HaBracha, just, unfortunately don't get the attention that they rightly deserve because, we have a limited amount of time and energy and effort. So I appreciate Rabbi Kelman's kind words, but for me, I wanted to try to cast some light on Hazinu, especially when we have many other things, good things to be thinking about. But Hazinu really is very, very special amongst all of the parshios in the Torah. And we'll talk a little bit about why that is and the different dimensions about why that would be true. certainly to take some time out is a credit to everybody here because everybody has many things to do. And I think it just really speaks to the Torah commitment of this particular tzibur. So it really is a great honor. Let me begin with one of the most seminal comments that the Ramban has in all of his Perush al Torah. The Ramban had a very special relationship with Parshas Hazinu. He refers to it as a shtar edos. He literally refers to it as, it's a very halachic term, literally a document, a halachic document of testimony in terms of Jewish history. That it's a shtar edos, it tells us the story of Jewish history going back to the time period when the Jewish people, Yimtza'eyu be'eretz midbar, v'so'o yolel yishimon, when the Jewish people were in the desert and the barren and forsaken land. And of course, it tells the story of the entry of the Jewish people, predicts the entry of the Jewish people into the land of Israel, issues that the Jewish people would encounter, spiritual issues that we'll talk about of Vayishman Yishun Vayivat. Unfortunately, when things get comfortable, then spiritually there can be a real lag. And then Vayar Hashem Vayinatz Mikas Panav Uvnosav, the fact that God was angered and the exile that would follow. And then the Ramban has one of these lines that even by the Ramban standards, which were very high in terms of his lyrical capacity, where he says, first I'll translate, then I'll put it back into the original. He says, if Hazinu had been authored by some kind of like an astrologer, so we should listen to every word that's in there because not a single thing that is reported in Hazinu, and this is the Ramban who lived from 1194 to 1270, so, there were a few thousand years that had passed, and there's been about 800 years since then, right, since the days of the Ramban. But he says nothing that is written in Hazinu has not come to pass. And then he says, and as far as we're concerned, since it's a divine and it was given by the prophet par excellence, right, this is exactly where it's at. So the Ramban is signaling for us that Shiras Hazinu, is really amongst all of the parashios in the Torah, it has this distinctive status as a shtar edus. Moreover, if I could just highlight the point a little bit more, it's a little bit of an advertisement for Azinu. Now, before we start talking about it more substantively, you know, the Torah, when it refers to Shiras Hazinu, it does so as such. We had Takisu Lachem is a Shira Azos. We had in last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayelech, the last of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. So clearly, in Pshuto Shel Mikra, in the simple reading of the text, what's being referred to is Shiras Hazinu. But the Rambam explains, even though that's true, that there's no way of writing a Sefer Torah, Parshios. One of the restrictions that we have when we produce a Sefer Torah, we're not allowed to produce, let's say, a klaf of just Shiras Hazinu. So the Rambam says the mitzvah is, of course, to produce an entire Sefer Torah. But yet the question that begs asking is like, you know, so why refer to the Torah in this fashion? All these kinds of beautiful ideas that have been said about that. Maybe the most oft quoted, and again, justly so, one is of Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, the Baal Aruch HaShulchan, one of the most illustrious halachas of the 19th century, says, you know, Torah is called the Shira writ large because the beauty of Torah is the beauty of music, where you have, you know, different point and counterpoint, different registers, different pitch, and everybody has their own voice, and, you know, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And so just like in a symphony orchestra, you want to have the different, you have the winds and you have the percussives and all these things. So that's why, you know, all of Torah is referred to as a Shira, which is a very beautiful idea and one that I fully endorse. But it's just in terms of what the Torah is getting at, when the Torah chooses somehow to describe the entire Torah from Bereishis until Zos HaBracha, halachically, Atakisu Lachem Sashira Zos, by highlighting Hazinu. So once again, we have no choice but to admit, Al Korchenu, we have to say that Shiras Hazinu is a very special parsha. Somehow it's a microcosm of the entire Torah. So both for the Ramban and for the Rambam, for the Gedolei HaRishonim, there's no question that Hazinu stood out, you know, amongst all of the parashios in the Torah. I just try to add maybe one bit of this from you know, in personal history. When last time I was we were together, it was Parshas Chukas, and you know, I mentioned my grandfather. So again, you know, everybody sort of, you know, has their own Masorah, has their own Kabbalah, has their own traditions. So my grandfather would tell me when I was a boy that be better to know the entire Torah by heart. But if you could only know part of it by heart, so he said, Nitzam Vayelech Hazinu V'Zos HaBracha, that those are the really, you know, the core things that, you know, all of the psukim there are very special and sort of guide us in terms of understanding of ourselves, understanding of our history. And so, again, for the Ramban and for the Rambam, and also for my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, these were very, very special sections of the Torah. And so, you know, it's a good thing to be able to look into it. Let me begin with a pasuk towards the beginning of the Shira, which I think is in a way the linchpin, and maybe we already alluded to part of it through the Ramban. Pasuk says, Zachar Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador, Shalavicha V'Yageidcha Zekinecha V'Yomru Lach, which means that we have a mandate to remember Zachar Yemos Olam, the days of the world. The Chasam Sofer actually says, believe it or not, the Chasam Sofer is not the one that people typically associate with, you know, a great embrace of Chachmas Olam, but the Chasam Sofer himself says that there's an obligation to know history, to know Jewish history from this pasuk. Zachar Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Binu means that we wouldn't just say Bekias, but Be'ian. You have to Binu, you have to understand, have a little bit of a historical perspective. And the way that you develop this, Shalavicha Be'ageidcha Zekeinecha V'yomru Lach. So you ask your father, ask your parents, ask your grandparents, and they'll give you a sense of where the Jewish people have been. So part and parcel of Hazinu is historical consciousness. Historical consciousness is something which is in very short supply today. Yet it is of the essence in terms of the Jewish religious experience. The Jewish inner religious experience is a person has a sense of themselves, not only as I live in 2022 and it's October 6th, etc. But I see myself as part of a chain that has existed for thousands of years and will go on midor lador, and I have great responsibilities to the past and I have great responsibilities to the future. So historical consciousness per se is of the essence of a halachic worldview. And that's exactly what this pasuk, Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shtos Dor Vador, Shalavicha V'yageidcha Zekinecha V'yamilach. Just to prove the point, the Gemara in Masech the Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel quotes this pasuk as one of two opinions. How do I know that I have to follow a mitzvah midirabanan? How do I know that I have an obligation to conform to rabbinic law? So one of the verses which is cited is the obvious verse from earlier in Sefer Dvarim in Parsha Shoftim, when the Torah says, "Al pi haTorah asher yarucha ve'al mishpat asher yom lecha ta'asa lo sasor min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol," that whatever the Sanhedrin in particular, the High Court, the Jewish Supreme Court, tells me, so I have to do that, and I can't deviate to right or left. And famously, the rabbis say, even if right seems left and left seems right, afilu al yamin shu smol, al smol shu yamin. Then there's a very strange suggestion in the Gemara, but it's actually endorsed by the Ramban. Nachmanides thinks that this is probably more likely as a choice. Shalavicha v'yageidcha zekeinecha v'yomru lach, that you'll ask your father and he'll tell you zekeinecha here, meaning your rabbis, and they'll direct you. Now, of course, Chazal knew better than anybody else that the simple reading of the pasuk was not talking about laws; it was talking about Jewish history. But again, these are inseparably linked. Our sense of ourselves, our sense of our history, is of course linked to our unique mission and our contribution to the world, which is inextricably connected to our role in terms of the purveyors of the Torah. So here again, in this one pasuk, we see that historical consciousness is really at the epicenter of halachic life, of conformity to a rabbinic law. Again, it's very, very hard to separate out just a historical awareness from an awareness of the special mission that Klal Yisrael has in the world and the unfolding of the Masorah as interpreted by the Zakenim. So historical consciousness didn't appear for the first time in Hazinu, even though it reaches, without a doubt, its apotheosis in Shiras Hazinu. But let me take a half a step back, hopefully to take two, maybe even three steps forward. That will be for you to judge. So, you know, if you go back, let's say 3 weeks to Parshas Kisavo, so we have probably the most obvious manifestation of historical consciousness in the Torah. The mitzvah at stake is the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. We know it very well, if not from Mikra Bikurim, then certainly from the Pesach Seder, where the yeoman farmer comes with his Bikurim. Higati ayom l'Hashem Elokecha kivasi al ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu la'ases lanu. And he comes with his basket, with his tenna, filled with the shiva saminim, as is understood the halacha me'rishis priyadama, the local priyadama, so only from the best. And he comes to the kohen and he starts talking about the past. Arami oved avi, right? As we say every year during the Pesach Seder, this is the core text of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'darish me'arami oved avi ad she'igmar kol ha'parsha kula. The idea is that you cannot show up with the fruits in the Beis Hamikdash and think that the world was created for you. You have to understand that Jewish history has been a very challenging one from the days of Yaakov Avinu, Arami Oved Avi, which is understood by the Targum, right? Lavan Arma, Bikesh La'abed Es Abba, right? From the very beginning, you know, things were very difficult for us. And then we went from the base Lavan to Mitzrayim, Vayarevo Sanu HaMitzrim, Vayanunu. So if I'm here standing in the Beis HaMikdash with my first fruits, and mind you, these are the Shevach Haaretz, the very best of the fruits, then I have to have a little bit of humility. I have to have a little bit of perspective to realize how fortunate I am. Rashi, in three words, is able to capture the sentiment when the pasuk, the introductory pasuk in the section of Yigate Yom Hashem Elokecha Kivasi Al Haaretz, Rashi says three words, Eincha Kfoy Tova, that you're not an ingrate. What does it mean? It means to have gratitude requires historical perspective. Gratitude requires historical consciousness. Somebody who thinks that, you know, the world was created in the 21st or in the 20th century or whatever it is, you know, and everything that we enjoy today, whether it's Torah in motion, whether it's, you know, the land of Israel and the ability to go there back and forth. So a person who has no historical consciousness, a person who has no sense of the suffering endured by Klal Yisrael, a person who has no sense of the vicissitudes of Jewish history, of the sacrifices of Jewish history, is basically spiritually paralyzed. You're incapable of experiencing the deepest emotions associated with inner Jewish religious experience, because a person simply has no context through which to appreciate the brachos from on high. And so the idea is not unique to Hazinu, but like I say, Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dor Vador, So that historical consciousness reaches its most direct expression, certainly in this parsha. Now, I'd like to try to do the example of Mikra Bikurim and Arami Oviravi wasn't just one of many that I could have chosen, but it, thematically I thought it would be the most appropriate. The Ramban, we've already mentioned, and maybe his most famous comment in Azino in terms of the Shtar Eidos, but the Ramban develops a motif in his interpretation of Azino. Again, he had a very special relationship with the Shira. So the Ramban develops a very important idea about the nature of Shiras Hazinu and its relationship with one of the cardinal elements of Jewish faith and Jewish consciousness. The Chovos Halavavos, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to quote in the name of his father, from the Chovos Halavavos, it says that Hakaras HaTov is the foundation of all of our Avodas Hashem. It says that in one of the major works of medieval Jewish thought, the Chovos HaLevavos. So the Ramban took that idea and he really ran with it, especially as it relates to Shiras Hazinu. So there's a recurring word in Hazinu, which the Ramban gives a unique interpretation to, which is the word Naval. And it appears in three different forms and three different places. And it's a word that has very deep meaning for the Naval, and it relates to this concept of gratitude. So the first instantiation of this word is in reference to the Jewish people who somehow failed to realize the beginning of the Shira exactly what their relationship with Hashem should be. So the Jewish people are referred to in that context as an Am Naval Velo Chacham. We should be a very wise people, right? Earlier in Sefer Dvarim, the Jewish people are described as Rakam Chacham V'Navon, Hagoy Hagadol Hazeh. So what does it mean, Am Naval Velo Chacham? So Rashi says what he says, the Ibn Ezra says what he says, but the Ramban says that he thinks that the word Naval has one meaning. A Naval is a Kfoy Tova, is somebody who's incapable of gratitude. In other words, when you lack the proper historical perspective, you lack a sense of appreciation of the way that God has cared for us, all of the special blessings that God has given us, so then what becomes possible is a complete lack of gratitude. The Ramban says it a second time. The Pasuk says the Jewish people will experience some material a blessing, so they'll become very haughty. Vayishman yishrun vayivat shamanta visa kasisa vayitosh aloha sahu vayinabel sur yeshua. So vayinabel is from that saying, it's a conjugation of the word naval, right? Again, the Jewish people, because we experienced some kind of blessing, so all of a sudden, we think that we don't need God anymore. And vayinabel tzor Yeshua, so we act without any proper sense of gratitude. There's actually a third time when this word comes up in the parsha, when God says, in retribution for the fact that we've lost sight of Him, that He's going to send an enemy against us, similar to what we have in the Tochacha back in Parshas Kisavo. But again, it says begoy naval achisem. Okay, with a nation that is a naval. So what does that mean? So the Ramban, l'shitaso, the Ramban, internally consistent with his position, says, you know which nation this is? This is the nation of Edom, of Rome, because who Esav, avi Edom, Esav should have had more hakaras hatov to his father Yitzchak, to his grandfather Avram. And so when Esav attacks us, it's also an act of ingratitude to their historical roots. So again, for the Ramban, the basic idea of Shiras Hazinu is that in the absence of historical consciousness, what emerges is a deficiency of gratitude, which then corrodes very insidiously and undermines our entire capacity for Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem has to be rooted in a very, very deep and profound sense of gratitude, of Hakaras HaTov, for all of the wonderful things that God has done for us. And when we lack that Hakaras HaTov and start accruing, and aggregating credit to ourselves, then we act as a Naval. Now, let me take two further steps with the Ramban as it concerns just this point, and then maybe to broaden it out a little bit. So here I am talking about Naval and the Ramban and Naval and in the lack of gratitude and you know, when you don't have a historical perspective and see the broader trajectory of things, you're stuck in the moment. You know, so it's easy to understand how a person can lack gratitude. But what I haven't mentioned yet is, yes, Debbie puts in, hence, right, our very name is Yehudi, meaning, you know, that's Lahodos, which is both to admit, but also to thank, because anytime we thank somebody, it's a kind of an admission of a debt of gratitude. Very good. That's exactly right. We'll see how true that is. But since I'm already talking about the Ramban, and I keep on talking about the Ramban's relationship with the word Naval, let me go no further before opening it up at this point and saying, wait a second. If I'm talking about the Ramban and I'm talking about the word Naval, I don't think we can, you know, get past 852 before pausing for a second and thinking, what is the most famous, you know, a comment of the Ramban surrounding this word that he apparently has a very special relationship with? Anybody want to jump in for the Ramban and the Naval? And I think this can really shed some light on a completely different section within the Ramban, but all of his thought is deeply intertwined.
Naval Birshut HaTorah.
Okay, so everybody got it at once. You know, there's this principle in halacha called Trei Kali Lo Mishtami that we're now, you can't really hear two voices at once, except in areas where the Gemara says, where it's Agav Chavivusei, this is mitzvah that's like so beloved to us, whether it's Mikra Megillah or it's Kia Shofar. So then we're able to hear it. So I was able to hear that because, you know, I appreciate the people here. So Agav Chavivusei. So that's right. So the Ramban has this idea of Naval Birshas HaTorah. It's a very hard idea to, you know, it's very really very complex, you know, phrase is the truth. So let me just discuss this point in the Ramban a little bit and then try to build a bridge from the context of that Ramban from Kedoshim to Hazinu. Okay, so hopefully this bridge is a secure one. The context of that Ramban is the following. Pasuk says, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi famously comments on the Pasuk of Hevi Prushin min ha'arayosu min ha'aveira, that we should separate and distance ourselves from sin. So the Ramban says, you know, it's a good idea to avoid sin. But if you look back at the original Toras Kohanim, where Rashi is quoting from the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha, it just says Hevu Prushim. It doesn't say Hevu Prushim in Harayos Min Avera. It sounds like we have to avoid things, not if they're just prohibited, but this principle called Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lecha, that we sanctify ourselves by achieving a higher degree of refinement, in moderation by abstaining from things that are permissible. So the Ramban gives four examples in that essay, and he starts talking about, you know, there's plenty of food which is prohibited. We should avoid that. But then there's plenty of food which is fundamentally permissible, but we should conduct ourselves with respect to carnal pleasures and eating in moderation. And then he gives a second example relating to the other major carnal pleasure in terms of familial life or the world of intimacy. And he says that there too, right? According to Torah law, a person could be married, not the king. Okay, the king is, you know, the draconian rules of the Torah, can only have 18 wives, you know, but okay, so the average person of 1,000 wives or whatever it is, so a person could live a very debased life under those conditions without violating a single halacha. The Ramban says the same thing is true in terms of the way that a person speaks. You know, there's certain isurim, there's libel, there's motzi shema, there's gossip, there's rechilus, there's lashon hara, but there's plenty that you can say that is rather unrefined, that won't incur any of these lavin. And then he says a fourth area, which is personal hygiene. He says there's very little by way of halacha, formal halacha, that mandates personal hygiene, vis kadishtam, visam kedoshim, but the point is that a person has to strive for this element of sanctity. And otherwise, if a person thinks that halacha is somehow the ceiling and not a floor, then a person will live the life of a naval birshas HaTorah. That's the famous expression of the Ramban. So it strikes me, right, that the Ramban, when he uses the term naval, sometimes that's translated naval birshas HaTorah, like a boor or unrefined person, which in the immediate context is definitely a fair and appropriate translation. But when you take like this more, you know, pan Nachmadian view, if you want to you know, get into the Ramban in Hazinu, we see that Naval really has a lot to do with a sense of perspective, and in particular, a sense of gratitude. In other words, to be able to see the whole picture. So in Hazinu, what the Ramban thinks that means, Am Naval, Belo Chacham, Bayinabel, Tzor Yeshua, So, Begoy Naval, Achisem, and all of those examples, what the Ramban is saying is that a Naval, right, lacks perspective. In this case, lacks Hakara Satov. I think Naval Bersha Satora, right, the Ramban means somebody who lacks perspective, somebody who can't see that, you know, the rules of the Torah are not, you know, like the instruction manual for a washing machine, right? But they're trying to drive us towards areas of Kedusha. So the word Naval really, you know, has this very distinctive connotation, I think, for the Ramban, you know, which is that a person has to have a certain perspective, a perspective which, as far as it concerns our relationship with Hashem, naturally militates towards profound gratitude. That's his thesis in Hazinu. And in terms of an overarching halachic perspective, a Naval, you know, lacks the awareness to realize that, okay, God wants something a little bit more than me, than just avoiding, you know, trefos and nevelos. But the whole principle of, you know, machalos hasuros is meant to help us achieve a greater level of Kedusha, and so on and so forth across the four areas that that we spoke about. So that's maybe point number one within the Ramban. Let me take this to a second level, and then hopefully to a third level. So the Torah tells us in Hazinu that when a person is, you know, lacking in this gratitude and begins to attribute all of their success to themselves, so the result will be Tsur Yiladecha Teshi Vatishkach El Mechalalecha. That's what the pasuk says in Hazinu. Literally, the rock, the foundation of it all, Hatsur Tamim Paolo. God is described many times as a Tsur in the Shira. Very fascinating. So Tsur Yiladecha Teshi, the Tsur who quote unquote gave birth to you, Vatishkach El Mechalalecha, you have forgotten. Now, again, this would be bad from anybody's point of view, but for the Ramban, it's like uniquely bad, because the Ramban has this doctrine that to forget God, when one is busy, you know, aggrandizing oneself, to forget God is actually, for the Ramban, an Isser Daraisa. It's actually a Torah-level prohibition. The Ramban wrote a very important work commenting on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam organized his entire Sefer HaMitzvos, his 613 mitzvos, and he has 14 different principles, the Shorashim, about how to organize the mitzvos. That was essentially a critique of the Baal Halachos Gedolos. We don't know exactly where and when he lived, who he was, but the Baal Halachos Gedolos is a very, very important early authority that organized his understanding of what the Tariq mitzvos were. So the Rambam wrote a very strident critique of that work called the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, which is certainly the most famous of all of the Sifrei Mitzvos that we have. And the Ramban wrote a critical review of the Sefer HaMitzvos, both of the Shorashim and on the independent mitzvos, that more or less, if you had to distill it into two sentences, which is that most of the time I happen to agree with you, Rambam, but the Bahag was no fool. That's basically what it comes down to. The Bahag knew how to learn also, and there are many important perspectives there, even if most of the time, when the rubber hits the road, the Ramban will agree with the Rambam. But in any event, there are 34 mitzvos, it happens to be 17 mitzvos ase and 17 mitzvos los ase, where the Ramban thinks that the Rambam has not enumerated things properly. So it's called the Shechas HaEsen, as if the Rambam forgot them. Okay, the Rambam didn't forget, but he disagreed. And the Shechas HaLavin. So Lav number one, okay, this is like A number one here, is the Isser of Shichchas Hashem, that we're prohibited to forget God. The Ramban thinks he has two psukim. Hisham lecha pentishkach es Hashem, hamotziyacha me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avadim, Hisham lecha pentishkach es Hashem, levil tishmor mitzvosav kukukav, u'mitzvosav asher nochi mitzav chahayom, one of them in Vaschanan, one of them in Ekev. So the point is that for the Ramban, to forget God is the opposite Avanochi Hashem Elokecha Motziyacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. People often say, well, the opposite of Anochi, the opposite of belief in God, is to do Avodah Zarah. The Ramban says that's not true. The opposite of belief in God is just to deny God, is to forget God, is to lack a sense of God awareness. So that sense of Shichchas Hashem for the Ramban is an Issa D'Oraisa. So now you can start to trace this, right? For the Ramban, when when people lack historical perspective, they fail. Zachor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador. They don't embrace that as a religious obligation. They're living only in the present. So what happens is they develop a sense of narcissism. They don't understand where the Jewish people have been, the challenges of Jewish history, the long-term relationship we have in God. And of course, it leads them to an Isser Daraisa. Tzur Yilad Chatashi Vatishkach El Mecholecha. It leads them to an Isser Daraisa of Shechachas Hashem, which for the Ramban is like, you know, a uniquely, you know, bad thing, because for him, it's not just like, what anybody would consider to be, from a Hashkafic point of view, deleterious. But for him, and from the normative standpoint, it really is, highly objectionable. So that would be like a second level in the Ramban. Now, the third level in the Ramban here, we already sort of set this up by explaining the structure of the Sefer HaMitzvos. So you mentioned that there are 17 positive commandments that the Ramban feels that the Rambam failed to enumerate. So number 15 of 17, if you look in the Shechas HaEsin, Mitzvah Tesvav, the Ramban says is that the Rambam failed to count the mitzvah in this week's parsha. The third pasuk of the parsha says, "Ki shem Hashem ekra havu godel lelokenu." So when I call it in the name of God, so you should bring him glory and grandeur. It's interesting that there's so many different interpretations of this pasuk in the Gemara, and this is, by the way, the Rush's father, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. So I don't know. Let me take a poll here. Does anybody have the tradition? It's not my tradition, but does anybody have the tradition in Shul that when Hashem's name is mentioned, they say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, that somebody's saying a bracha? It's okay. You can admit not everybody has to have this. It's okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So all right, not everybody has to be a Litva. Okay, so it's not an obligation. So the Rush's father writes about that. He says, yeah, that's the pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Somebody calls out in the name of God. Havu go de l'lakenu. We should all say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. Okay, so that's not my tradition, but it's a very, time-honored, sanctified tradition. Okay, but the Gemara, Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph, tells us, Kishem Hashem Ekra. Havu go de l'lakenu. Actually, tells us that we have to make a Birchas HaTorah. So the Rambam didn't count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Ramban is very critical of that. Now, it's a strange point, right, to derive from that. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call the name of God, that we should glorify Him. I know, Havugo de l'Elokeinu. I don't see anything about Talmud Torah in that pasuk. So this is a little bit beyond their scope for now, but if you take a look, we're getting to Sefer Bereishis all over again. So you take a look at the Ramban's Hakdama to the Torah, so you understand why he thinks that Pasuk means what he says it means, is that the Ramban thinks that the Torah is comprised, a metaphysical idea, is comprised only of Shemos Hashem. Very interesting idea. So Kishem Hashem Ekra is a code for when I read the Torah. All right. So in any event, when we read the Torah, Havagoda Volcano, we have to give Hashem a bracha. So the Ramban thinks that's a mitzvah d'oraisa in its own right. The Rambam obviously did not agree with that. So the truth of the matter is that if you look in the Gemara, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, it's a very difficult Gemara, and the Gemara does not seem to be normative. So the Ramban is a little bit on an island here, in terms of counting this particular mitzvah. Those who defend the Rambam say, again, it wasn't Shechas HaSin, he didn't forget it, but the Rambam knew very well that the Gemara didn't really support the conclusion. But in any event, the Ramban arrived at this idea that the Gemara had to be taken literally. So the question is, like, what kind of bracha do we have to make on the Torah on a d'oraisa level? So on a Torah level, every time we learn the Torah, we have to make a bracha. So, I don't know, you have at least three different possibilities, because the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph discusses the institution of Birchos HaTorah. So one of them is, let me do it this way. What do you think? When you study the Torah, what kind of bracha do you have to make? What would be the most logical position? The Ramban is telling me that Birchos HaTorah, Pasuk in Hazinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, V'gudol Elokeinu, it's a mitzvah d'araisa. Every time I learn the Torah, so I have to make a bracha. So what does that mean, I have to make a bracha? What kind of bracha do I have to make?
A Asher bachar banu.
Okay, all right. So maybe Hashem chose us. Okay, very good. So we'll come back to that. It's a very important idea. Let's start there, right? It's a mitzvah. So if you look in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph, so the first nusach habracha, which is recorded, is clearly a birchas hamitzvah. Asher kitchanu v'tzusav v'tzivanu. If you have the girsa that the Rambam and the Rif had of al divrei Torah, we have lasok b'divrei Torah, the Ashkenazim. Okay, fine. So I don't know. That would be option number one. Option number two would be, right, v'ha'arevna, that it's kind of a bakasha, that when we learn Torah, we should be illuminated, we should be inspired, we should enjoy learning Torah, which is very important. So that might be, you know, another option. Some machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether that's an independent bracha or that's conjunctive with the first bracha. And then we have, Sima, I think it was you, right? You, the one who said it. Okay, excellent. What Rav Papa refers to as the me'ula shebe brachos, the best of all the brachos, which is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim V'Nasan Lanu Es Tarasa, which is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's not a Bakasha, but it seems like a Shavach Lehoda, that we're thanking God. So it happens to be that Sima is right, okay? No, knows the Ramban in backwards and forwards, that the Ramban says the only Bracha, you know, Birchas HaTara, which is Doraisa, is giving proper gratitude, to thank God that He gave us the Torah, Kli Chamdaso, the great and beautiful Torah that instructs us how to live in this world and how to merit the next world, so on and so forth. In other words, the Ramban, this should be no surprise by this point in this year, he arrived at the conclusion in Ha'azinu of all places, Ha'azinu, which is like ground zero for the idea of Am Naval Velo Chacham, that the worst thing in life is to lack perspective and therefore to be ungrateful and to forget God within that context. So you know what we have to do every single time when we study the Torah? We have to give hoda. We have to take a step back and develop a sense of awareness and appreciation of how grateful we have to be that we have Torah to study. That God, lo asachein l'chol goy, u'mishpatim bal yadom, hallelujah, that God chose to do this for us and for us alone. And for the Ramban, that's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. That's a mitzvah de'oraisa. And it's very hard for me to see that as disconnected from the isser of shechachas Hashem, of forgetting God. We always have to have the sense of God awareness and a deep sense of gratitude, which is related to that. Now, it's fascinating. The Ramban has like this throwaway line. You know, there are no throwaway lines in the Ramban, but you know, the Ramban just says at the end of that little passage, again, Shichas Asin Tesvav, it's not that long a piece. It's the only place the Ramban really writes about this. So he says, you know, and don't tell me that this mitzvah is the same or should be counted as the same mitzvah as Limud HaTorah, because it's not, it's separate. And the Ramban says, and I'll give you two examples, right? Like analogous examples. He says, just like the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim isn't the same as the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim. There's two different mitzvahs. One is to bring the Bikurim. The other is to actually recite the Mikra Bikurim. And just like the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach is not the same as the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban, you know, what can we say? You know, it's like the Rambam said about his father's Rebbe, his father, Rabbeinu Maimon HaDayan, so his father's Rebbe was the Rimigash. So he said about his father's Rebbe, Sichlo Mavis, that his intellect is frightening. Okay, so we could say about the Ramban, Sichlo Mavis. So the Ramban didn't just choose any examples, but he obviously was going for mitzvos, which he thinks are kind of corollary mitzvos, like Mikra Bikurim is to Havas Bikurim, what Birchas HaTorah is to Limud HaTorah, that is to say, mitzvos of Hakara Sato, where the whole point is to take stock, where we started with the Rashi on Mikra Bikurim, She'ein Chak Fuei Tova, that if you have historical perspective, you won't be an ingrate. The Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos, in Kuf Lamed Beis, when he paskins the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, so he says the whole thing is about Hoda. You say the first word, it's Lahodos of Hashem. It's only two sentences into that passage in the Sefer Mitzvos that the Rambam says it has anything to do with Bikurim. My main thing is to give hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam, Rashi, and the Ramban, they all came to the same place. The Mikra Bikurim is really an exercise in Hakar. So the same thing with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lefichach, anachnu chayavim, lehodos, lehalo, l'shabeach, lefire, Right? The whole point is to realize, you know, mascha b'gnus, mesayim b'shevach, that whether it's in the national physical sense, avadim hayinu, and now we're b'nei chorin, or it's in the spiritual sense of, you know, mitzchila ovdei avodazar hayu avoseinu, and now achshav kirvanu amakom l'avodaso, but Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is an exercise in giving halal v'hoda. That's why the halal is integrated into the Magid section, as the Rav developed at such great length. So the point is that the Ramban is trying to demonstrate that there's a whole triad of mitzvos. There's this constellation of mitzvos that are meant, you know, to enable us and to facilitate our capacity to offer hakaras hatov, and thereby to develop and deepen our sense of God awareness, and to avoid the iser min hatara, to avoid the grievous prohibition number one, even before we get to avodah zarah, of yishamre lecha pen tishkach es Hashem hamotziyacha meretz Mitzrayim beis avadim. So again, we talk about historical consciousness. Zechor yemos olam binu shnos dar vador shalavicha v'yageidcha zekenecha v'yom rulach, as something which really requires work, right? First of all, it requires empirical knowledge. You have to know a little bit. You have to take the time for shalavicha v'yageidcha zekenecha v'yom rulach. You have to, you know, be curious about where the Jewish people have been. But once you've done that, so it's enriching in such a profound way. A person should have a sense of perspective and balance that comes with understanding that, to quote from Chazal, lo ani tchilas hakedusha. The pasuk says in the Shira, Shiras Hayam, zekeli v'anveyo elokei aviv arom menu. This did not start with me. This story did not start with me. Lo ani tchilas hakedusha elokei aviv arom menu goes back a very, 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 very long time. We can all make a contribution, but we should basically perceive ourselves. Self-perception should be deeply rooted in a longitudinal sense, going all the way back, and hopefully projecting forward as well. Which brings me really to the last point that I wanted to make about Hazinu, which is the only non-Shira part. So the seventh Aliyah, Hazinu is very fascinating in this way. So the seventh Aliyah of Hazinu, so it's an inextricable part of the Parsha, but it's outside of the Shira, is the story of the Shira being transmitted to the Jewish people. So it says that Moshe gave Divei Hashira Zosal B'nai Yisrael, who Vehosheya ben Nun. Okay, there's two noteworthy things about this. Number one, that Yehoshua participated in this, which we'll talk about in a second. And second of all, the fact that he was called specifically Hosheya in this context, right? Every time we meet Yehoshua throughout the Chumash, he's always called Yehoshua, except for one time in Parsha Shlach, when we're told Vayikra Moshe LeHosheya ben Nun Yehoshua. So we'll try to deal with those two issues in order. The Gemara Masechta Sotah Daf Yud Gimel tells us that what was going on here was that literally Shabbos Shel Diyuzgi Haisa, that Hashem wanted to, so to speak, give Yehoshua promotion in Moshe's lifetime. People shouldn't be able to say that Yehoshua was like a non-entity in Moshe's lifetime, and you know, feel badly about his taking over as leader. So he should give his first shir klali when the Alter Rosh Yeshiva is still on board. Okay, so maybe you know, there's something to that. But it seems to me that would be more of what we call a din klali. That would be sort of a generality. There'd be no reason that it had to be true about you know, Hazinu. I don't know, Yehoshua could get up there and start talking about whether you know, Chatzi Nezek is a knas or is mamon or something like that. And it's a question of short time and bubble come. Like, why does that have to be the Shira? So it seems to me that it's no accident. The entire purpose of the Shira, of Shiras Hazinu, is to cultivate a sense of historical awareness, a sense of midor lador, a sense of historical consciousness and transition between generations, that each generation builds off the previous generation, hopefully in a constructive way. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, the opposite. Dor tapu chos hema banim lo elun bam, as the Shira says. So of all things, right, if you're going to have Yehoshua partner with Moshe, you know, in terms of relaying a certain section of the Torah, I think it's far from arbitrary, highly deliberate, that it would be the Shiras Hazinu, because no other section of the Torah encapsulates this idea of longitudinal transmission, quite like Shiras Ha'azinu, Shalavicha V'yagedcha, Zekeinecha V'yomru Lach. But I think we could even go half a step further. As we noted, Yehoshua is referred to as Hoshea. So Rashi brings a beautiful medrash that says that even though Yehoshua was Ola L'Gdula here, right? Yehoshua was ascending to the leadership of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says he would have a din of a melech, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, you know, you would think that now Yehoshua would become like, you know, Mr. Yehoshua or Professor Yehoshua. But he goes in the other direction. Lo zacha l'avdaito, that he goes back to, being smaller. He was memoid himself in this moment. A very beautiful interpretation. So I think that there's another possibility, which maybe speaks a little bit to the broader theme that we had the opportunity to speak tonight. And it's based on, great surprise, a comment that the Ramban makes all the way back in Parsha Shlach. So the Torah again tells us, before the Meraglim are sent, Vayikra Moshe l'Hoshea Binun Yehoshua. So Rashi assumes, based on the Medrash, that Moshe actually changed Yehoshua's name right then and there, right? Ya Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, as you recall. So the problem with this, as the Ramban notes on the spot, is that Yehoshua has always been Yehoshua. If you go back to Parshas B'Shalach, when Yehoshua first appears on the scene, right, Vayomer Moshe Yehoshua Becharlanu Anashim, it say Hilachem Amalek. It doesn't seem like his name was Hoshea. If you go to Parshas Kisisa, Mesharso Yehoshua bin Nunar Lo Yamish Mitochawa, it doesn't sound like his name was Hoshea. So the Ramban says no, right? The Torah is reporting this as a fact here, but it happened a long, 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 long time ago when Moshe first took, you know, Hoshea under his wing. So that's when he changed his name. He says, you know, we have this phenomenon throughout Tanakh, you know, with Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, when they come in the presence of Malchus, so they get new names. And Yosef, of course, gets a new name in the presence of greatness of a very different kind. So, okay, so Yehoshua also kind of got his own name from Moshe Rabbeinu. And for reasons we won't get into right now, the Torah is presenting it here. Really happened a very, very long time ago. Okay, so I think it's very persuasive. It certainly accounts for the fact that he's always presented to us as Yehoshua in the Torah, right? We only meet Yehoshua for the first time as under Moshe Rabbeinu's tutelage. So be that as it may, what I think is really critical to highlight about this point is that this last time, right, when Moshe, who created the identity Yehoshua, there was no Yehoshua before, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe is departing the scene, the psychology of Hoshea, and again, I'm going a little bit different direction here than Rashi. It's not just lo zacha daito lav, that he's being memayed himself, which is very laudable, but that Yehoshua experienced a sense of trepidation, right? That, the man who took him from Hoshea and turned him into Yehoshua was, you know, departing the scene. And that's something which is, you know, very disorienting. When we lose the stabilizing presence of our father figure, our father rabbinic figure, Shalavicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yom rilach, it can be very dwarfing. The Gemara in Tmura, Daf Tzayin, talks about b'mei evlo shel Moshe Rabbeinu, in the days of Avelos of Moshe Rabbeinu, that a massive number of halachos were forgotten. And the Klal Yisrael would get very frustrated with Yehoshua. It's reminiscent, of course, of the Gemara in Brachos, the Ketzad Mevarchim, when it says the Talmidim, when they were coming back from Rav's Levaya, that they couldn't remember basic halachos of benching, right? So this is a phenomenon that in every transition, midor lador, there's always a sense of loss. There's always a sense of diminution. There's always a sense that we're a dor yasom, that how can we possibly, how can we possibly go on? There's nothing wrong with that. That's part and parcel. It's something that Yehoshua experienced himself, of course. You know, if Yehoshua ben Nun were to appear, you know, on the Jewish scene tomorrow, you know, I'd like to think that people would feel pretty good about having his leadership. You know, it's Yehoshua ben Nun, you know, Vagisa bo Yomam v'Laila, the man himself. But the point is that every generation, part of the Hazinu experience, I think the longitudinal experience, is always a sense of, you know, trepidation. Taking the Mesorah by the reins, about losing those father figures that we have you know, that have transmitted the Masorah to us. That's a confrontation that each generation has, and it's a confrontation that the leader of each generation, you know, has in particular. And I don't think it's an accident in that respect that Shir HaSazinu incorporates the seventh Aliyah, Huvo Shea Binun, both because it is paradigmatic of, you know, generational transition, but also the challenges that are, you know, intrinsic to generational transition when we talk about feeling like a Dor Yasom and feeling that we don't, you know, measure up. All of these things are really baked into the system. It's intrinsic, and they're feelings that we have to contend with. They're not like, you know, like I say, you know, bugs in the system. They're really features of the system, a system that's built on reverence, the system that's built on historical consciousness. When we lose those figures in actual, the physical sense of the term, it is for us, you know, a great loss, and it is for us, you know, an incredibly significant challenge. And that is the end of Parshas Hazinu, where Moshe is told, Alei el har avarim hazeh har nevo, ure'eis aretz, kimineget teretz aretz, v'shama lo savor, right, el haretz asher anino sein livnei Yisrael. It has to do with the loss, you know, of the great leader, the leader par excellence of Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, you know, when we have this tradition of shalavicha v'yageitcha zekenecha v'yomru lach, of adherence to, you know, in all of the rabbinic legislation going back so many generations, you know, so we can take great anchor, succor, and sustenance within that framework, and be able to orient ourselves. Okay, so just to very briefly summarize, you know, what we spoke about tonight in terms of the Shira, we began by noting that the Shira really seems to stand out. The Ramban says it's the Shtar Edos. Even if it had been written by some kind of an astrologer, we should believe in it, because Lo Nafal Davar Mikol Devarav V'Kol Shekein, right, Divrei Elokim Chayim Minivio Neman Beso, as the Ramban writes, we should have great faith in Shira Sizinu. Even for the Rambam's point of view, where the Rambam says, Atakisu Lachemes Ashira Azos, Lamdas Bnei Yisrael, Shira, Shira Sazinu, but you can't have a Sefer Torah that's only Hazinu, so it's got to really include everything. It seems like the entire Torah is being encapsulated into this Shira. We noted that for the Ramban, the real motif is developing historical perspective. When a person develops historical perspective, gratitude will be the natural corollary. When you fail, develop historical perspective. Am naval v'lo chacham v'yina beltzor Yeshua. So, right, for the Ramban, to be a naval is like a unique stigma. Goes back to the naval versus HaTorah, somebody who lacks perspective about the halachic system. Here, the naval lacks perspective about God's interaction with history. And of course, you know, that leads for the Ramban inexorably to the Issa Daraisa of Shechas Hashem. So for the Ramban, there's a constellation of mitzvos which is meant to assist us in developing a deeper and more pervasive sense of God awareness and hopefully gratitude. Birchas HaTorah being amongst them, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim certainly being amongst them, Mikra Bikurim being amongst them. A person has to have a sense of historical consciousness, awareness of how fortunate we are to have the Torah, how fortunate we are to have the land of Israel, Mikra Bikurim, how fortunate we are to have an opportunity for a quality of life outside of, you know, Shibud Mitzrayim. For the Ramban, these things are all like, you know, deeply, deeply integrated with each other. We suggested that given the longitudinal intergenerational nature of Shira Sazinu, right, it makes a lot of sense that this was the parsha of the Torah that was chosen for Yehoshua to present, you know, alongside Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hoshea Benun. But part of the challenge thereby for, you know, Yehoshua was feeling like a Hoshea, that when we have this kind of historical perspective and we see ourselves as a Hemsheikh, as a continuation of the previous door, so that makes the loss of the previous door that much more, you know, painful for us. Just to capture this point, maybe with a very, you know, brief vignette before I, you know, my time expires, this great story that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think Rabbi Kelman is based in Toronto. So Rabbi Kamenetsky spent a goodly number of years in Toronto. Hopefully his impact is still felt. So anyway, Rabbi Yaakov was on the plane next to an Israeli politician of some note, somebody who was very up in his Histadrut. Okay, so two Jews from very different points of view, let's say. And throughout the plane ride, So, you know, they're chatting, whatever it is. And Rav Yaakov is a very open person. And this man and then even a younger woman keep on coming up to Rav Yaakov and making sure he's okay. So like the leader of the Histadrut says to Rav Yaakov, like, you know, who are these people? And he says, well, you know, this one's my son and that's, you know, my granddaughter. And they keep on checking on me. He's like, so he says, that's unbelievable. They got leader of the Histadrut. You know, it's amazing, you know, how much reverence they have for you. He says, well, you know, this is the difference between us, right? You know, you're a Darwinian, so you believe each generation is better than the generation before it, you know. So, why should your children spend their plane rides making sure you're okay, right? You know, you should be thanking them for, like, you know, improving your genetic material or something like that. But he says, we have the opposite point of view. We have reverence for the past. So from my children's point of view, they see me as closer to Har Sinai. And not only that, but they know that I saw people that from their point of view are like almost incomprehensibly great. So the whole orientation is really in the opposite direction. So when you have that kind of longitudinal orientation, you have a historical perspective. So it really can be very, you know, painful to lose those figures, who Vehoshea ben Nun. But the truth of the matter is that with the halachic system in place, Shalavicha v'yageidcha, Zekinecha v'yomrulach, we never really say goodbye. We say goodbye in the physical sense, but we have the traditions of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have the traditions of Yehoshua ben Nun, we have the traditions of Shmuel Hanavi, as the Rambam enumerates in the Yad HaChazakah, the 40 generations between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ravashi. So we have all of that. So really the system in that respect builds off of itself. And so, you know, just want to again thank everybody for me, what is a very special opportunity, the time of year when, you know, all of the attention is on the Mawadim Uzmanim, and hard to blame anybody for that, but to be able to spend a little time talking about the Shtar Edus, as it were, you know, the document of Jewish history, with its clarion call for us to develop a sense of historical consciousness. So maybe just to conclude with one line, very famous line, there is an illustrious professor of Jewish history in the later part of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century, Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, who liked to quip that the Jewish people were commanded to remember, but they were never told that they had to be a nation of historians. Yeah, we have all kinds of mitzvahs of Zechira. So I like to say Yerushalmi was like half right. It's true, we're not mechuyev to be historians, but we are mechuyev to have historical consciousness. And that's more than just Zechiras Amalek or Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim or Zechiras, you know, Matan Torah. It really is a way of understanding ourselves. We have to understand ourselves not from the point of view that of the present. We have to understand ourselves as part of a very, 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 very long chain. Great responsibilities to the past, great responsibilities to the future as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I may, since you talked about your grandfather, so I'll mention, and you mentioned Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky at the end, of course, who was in Toronto in the 1930s, pretty much, and I think into the 40s a little bit. So my grandmother, you know, who had to go to work at, you know, as a teenager, the depression, I mean, whatever it's, and so she used to go ask her shyless to Rav Yaakov, you know, Kamenetsky on a chicken. She didn't understand, you know, who he was, but she would tell me how compared to other rabbanim, how friendly he was. And so Mrs. Friedman, how are you doing? And he would schmooze with her for a number of minutes. I just, when you mentioned Rav Yaakov, your grandfather, so I figure in Toronto, I would throw that in. I don't know that everybody knows that Rav Yaakov spent time in Toronto, and his relatives, you know, who live here in it's now even. But anyway, so I figured I'd throw that in, but if I may.
Well, it's worth it just for that.
But yeah, you know, but it's really actually my, you know, obviously my grandmother was not a learned woman in the classical sense. I mean, I don't know, obvious, but it's, you know, but she.
Never on Shabbos.
She understood. I'm sorry? What do you want to say? No, I'm just saying she understood. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi Yaakov was married to my sister-in-law's grandmother.
Rabbi Yaakov was married to Rabbi Yaakov's second wife.
Was Mrs. Ehrman.
Yeah. So that's, you know, Kopstick, related to Kopstick, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I worked with Gary Kopstick when I was an accountant. We worked at the same firm when I was doing
that's funny.
Work. It's a small world, this, you know, how everything interacts. And of course, my father knew Rav Yaakov and whatever. He was a special man. And
yes, he was. You know,
that he was such a moderate, open, like as you mentioned, he was an open person, like on the plane, but whatever. Anyways, okay. But thank you, Rabbi. Really excellent shiur, and thank you for coming in. Always nice to hear from Hazino. I was just looking at my notes. I saw last year I gave a shiur for Hazino. I was just looking, so I gave half a shiur on the pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra. You know, the three different interpretations, what it means, of course. But anyways, okay. Yashar Koach, we look forward to learning with you in the future. Tomorrow morning, I'll be giving my regular shiur on the Siddur, but we'll do on Sukkah some of the additional, the tefillot we say on Sukkah. So that's tomorrow morning, please God, at 9:30. And then next week also, we just have scheduled, I'll let you know if we add in anything for Chol HaMoed, but we will have some learning next week too, a little bit, please God, Parsha, and then also Friday morning, and then we'll start with our fall series after Yom Tov. We have a whole series lined up that we're putting the final touches on. We'll let you know all by email. Okay, everybody, want to wish everybody again a wonderful year. Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, as we move from Yom Ayom Venora to Zman Simchatenu. Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year, as the Gemara says, but it's a different type of happiness than the happiness of Sukkot. It's one's a more, different elements of Simcha, but that's a whole other shiur. Anyways, hope to see everybody soon, and Laila Tov, and thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom. Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom, Yishkaya.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach.
Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach.